Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 979. It's the 29th of January, 2018. On the podcast today, I have Marcus Edward Jones, who's recently gone from non-executive chairman to executive chairman of Phoenix Global Mining, that's PGM, and Marcus discusses their cobalt exploration results and also general progress at the company in their copper mine there. Also on the podcast, it's Monday, so Malky, Oil and Gas Sector Authority, talks about Jersey Oil and Gas, Sirica Energy, STX Energy, and Rock Rose Energy. Plus, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets over the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Marcus Edward Jones, Executive Chairman of Phoenix Global Mining. That's PGM ticker. Marcus, thanks for joining me.
Good morning.
Now, we have a couple of guys on from the company. We've not had the pleasure of speaking to you, so it's nice to get your angle on it. And I know you've recently moved from non-executive chairman to executive chairman. But before we get into the questions, Marcus, can you explain for people listening who've never heard of the company, what does Phoenix Global Mining do, please?
Well, we are putting the old Empire mine into production again. We think it's capable of producing 7,000 tons of copper just from the oxide cap, which is on a very small percentage of the ore body. And that, at current prices, will generate around $50 million of revenue to us over a 10-year period. Mm-hmm. $50 million per annum over a 10-year period.
Excellent stuff. And that's, we said the Empire Mine, that's in Idaho, isn't it?
That is indeed in Idaho, which is a very mining-friendly state.
Yeah,
we've all been involved in much more exotic countries like Uzbekistan, the Congo, and we've learned from our mistakes in the various ventures we've done over there, and we've focused on this project, having scanned over 100 projects and put our collective experience to bear upon this one.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, listen, and talking about experience, you've moved from non-exec, like I just mentioned, to an executive chairman role. So how will that change your involvement with the company, Marcus?
Well, I put quite a lot of my own money into this, and I've been working on the project now for nearly 4 years. I found that I was spending a lot more of my time on it than a traditional non-exec director. And there's a lot that needs to be done in terms of widening the investor base to include institutions, talking to people in North America. We intend to increase our exposure to institutions in Toronto, New York, and on the West Coast. And we're also very conscious that we need to avoid dilution as much as possible. So we're looking at other ways of funding the development beyond just issuing shares to equity investors.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's probably worth mentioning, you know, you said you've mentioned a bit of your background there, but so where have you come from to be where you are today, Marcus?
Well, I started off in working in the city as an analyst. Mm-hmm. I had an excellent rating in insurance and bank sector. I've, over the years, since I set up my own brokerage firm in Paris in 2003, I've raised money for over 50 projects in the natural resources and other sectors. And so I built up a pretty good address book of contacts in the sector over the years, in not just in Europe, but in America. And I'm hoping to bring this to bear as we develop. I think since we last spoke to you, we've pegged these two cobalt deposits totaling about 1,200 acres.
Yeah.
And we've just got some results, some sample results, surface sample results back from there. We were 46 in total from the two properties. And every single sample we sent off to the lab is showing traces of cobalt. Some of them are quite high for surface samples, and include some quite high grade copper as well. So we'll be communicating further on those two projects as soon as the snow melts.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping to get some good read across from our neighbours who are all listed on the TSX, like US Cobalt and E Cobalt. US Cobalt are right next door to us, and their market cap is over $40 million, and which is three times the size of ours.
Yeah, yeah, and of course cobalt and copper, especially in the electric vehicle revolution we're having, will be in much demand for the next many a year. So you're in the sort of right space. So I mean, worth talking as well, they're talking about jurisdictions and stuff in America. I mean, not many people will be aware of this, but it was one of Trump's sort of victories. But the corporation tax has been lowered, isn't it, from 35% to 21%. I mean, how will this affect your project there, Marcus?
Well, we're pretty delighted with what's just happened. Apart from Idaho being a very supportive state in general, and we've been offered lots of tax breaks and incentives for all the people we're going to employ there. Just from a basic mathematical calculation, all our original numbers were done on a corporation tax rate of 35%,
mm-hmm.
And that's now going to be 21%.
Wow! Yeah.
So, if you assume we're going to be mining 7,000 tons of copper a year and take a price of $7,000 a ton, that will save us over the period of a 10-year mine life around $50 million in taxes, which is, again, three times our market capitalization. So
it's a big chunk.
I would defy anybody to find another stock on AIM which benefits to the tune of that magnitude on the back of the Donald's tax reductions.
Exactly. And going forward, you mentioned a bit of it, so what's next news-wise? What kind of milestones are you looking to cross or tick off the list there, Marcus?
Well, one thing we haven't mentioned before is that this production from the oxide cap is being generated from a very small part of the ore body.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath the oxide cap, we believe there's a very large sulfide deposit, which is what the original miners were mining underground up till Pearl Harbor. We've actually pegged another area to the north of us, which we believe is a continuation of this ore body, and we are starting to explore that, and we hope that while we're de-risking the project with generating the cash from the oxides, that we can prove up the existence of a far more significant ore body than what we've got at the moment.
Excellent.
And in that ore body, we've announced to the market that we have done some exploration on this already. So there'll be the results of that coming out, and we are hoping that the market might become excited by the presence of some of the other metals that were mined there in 1942. The last shipment from the mine was a tungsten shipment, and tungsten is actually three times the price of copper.
Mm.
So yeah. Yeah, we are a bit of a play on not just on copper, but we hope to become. To get a bit of rarity value on the stock market by having some decent amounts of some of the more costly and rarer metals that are also in demand, like cobalt and tungsten.
Excellent.
Not to mention gold. Not to mention the gold and silver as well.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, listen, you've got a lot going on there, and Marcus, if someone's listening to this, but they're not following the story yet, give them three good reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please.
Well, firstly, there's the prospect of immediate cash flow we hope to be getting into production in 2020, which is mm-hmm. not so far away now. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we are very lowly valued relative to our peer group. Particularly in the light of the U.S. corporation tax reductions, and thirdly, while you have the relative security of income from copper, which looks to be going one way only, with companies like Rio Tinto forecasting a deficit for 2020,
mm-hmm.
You're getting a free gamble on the possibility that there are going to be lots of other exciting metals which are also in high demand, like tungsten and cobalt, in the share price for nothing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Marcus, it's good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Malky, Oil and Gas Sector Authority. You all right, fella?
I'm very well indeed, thanks. Very well indeed. You, Justin?
Yeah, not too bad. It's all right. Yeah. I mean, it's warming up in my office. I haven't got too much electricity at the moment. It's on and off because we're having stuff done, but I've got about four layers on. So I should survive, you know.
Good for you.
So I've noticed a couple of bits of news out this morning, but what are we chatting about, Malky? What's the first one up?
I've got to talk about Jersey Oil and Gas. They've got news out today, which is probably one which people are going to have a look at. The stakes here are good. I mean, I noticed that when I first saw the stock was down a few coppers first thing, but it's a very positive announcement from Jersey this morning. Just what the shareholders would expect to be hoping to see. And if you remember, Jersey was the one that discovered, Verbier in the North Sea last year. They have, they're a very smart bunch of guys, to be honest. They managed to farm out the prospect to Statoil, which is, as about as good as it gets. Statoil drilled with them last summer. They looked like it hadn't found anything, and then they did a sidetrack, which everyone was a little uncertain about, but the sidetrack came in. So they've got this big discovery in the North Sea. This is, they're talking 25 to 130 million barrels. And just on this prospect, which is extremely good. Now, what they've announced today is that with their partners and the operator Statoil, that they've agreed the work program and the budget for this year, and they've confirmed what we really wanted to know, which was that they are going to do an appraisal on the Verbier discovery. With all the contingent well planning and site surveys and everything else, the negotiations for the rig are, as they call it, advanced for one well and one option for a sidetrack, and I expect them to be drilling that in the summer of this year. So we haven't got a date yet, but I imagine sort of July, August, that sort of time, which ironically was the same time as they drilled last year.
Yeah.
As you probably know, Jersey are fully funded after the discovery of the Verbier prospect. They did a fundraising, so they've got 25 million quid in the bank. Their capex for this year is at the moment planned to be between 9 and 11 million, that includes, I hope, that they're going to buy some production somewhere as well. I know that they've been watching out for that very carefully. And I think that, you know, that means that, you know, that if you've got 25 to 130 million in Verbier, they've got another prospect called Cortina. There's a sort of skiing vibe going down here. You know, I think that Jersey are one of the most exciting stocks in the sector. Last time I spoke to you, I think I said I sort of compared them to something which had five times of upside and yet the safety of a corporate bond. And I think that that is confirmed today, that they're going to drill out in the summer of this year. It won't be such a, you know, sort of high profile as last year because it's an appraisal well, not an exploration well. But I would think that things are going very well indeed around at Jersey Oil and Gas.
Yeah, look at that. It's amazing that chart because obviously they announced a disappointment with that first well, and they're at sort of 230 per share. It dropped down on that release to about 50 pence. And then obviously a couple of days later, they announced that sidetrack and it went from like opened right up and went back up to almost 350, you know? So that's
amazing. Exactly, yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, there's no saying for why these things don't work, but, you know, at $70 oil. And with one prospect at 25 to 130, and it, you know, in my view, if the, you know, you can make a very good case for that being towards the top of that range, you only have to do the sums. And with another prospect on the site, and you know, one or two other things, it looks most attractive.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else, Malky?
Yeah, two or three things really. Obviously, you mentioned the morning's announcements. Serica Energy have announced this morning again. You know, everything is going according to plan there. I haven't managed to get hold of Serica recently. I think their IR is fairly quiet. But Mitch Flagg, who I'd like to have a catch up with, took over as CEO a little while ago. You remember these are the guys that announced at the end of last year this big deal with BP for the acquisition of the Bruce, Keith and Rum assets, which increases the size of the business, the production and the value throughout the business very substantially. I mean, what I like about what Serica is going to look like is, you know, as I say, the production is going to go up. They'll hopefully complete the BP acquisition shortly. They're fully funded, virtually no debt. They've hedged quite a lot of it because they don't want to have a downside to the commodity. I'm not a big fan of too much hedging, but I know it has to happen, and especially when they've got all this this BP stuff. So they've done the right thing, no doubt about that. And I, as I say, I think things will pick up. Then they'll look a lot smarter. I'll talk to you more about that when I've had a chance to speak to Mitch Flagg. And I'm going to go through direct to him now. I don't think there's any point in trying to go via the official route. So, but I like what's going on at Serica.
Yeah, cool. Anything else happening, Lucky?
Yeah, a couple more things. I won't let you get away without a quick word on my trip to Morocco last week.
Oh, yes. How did that get on? Yeah.
Well, it was brilliant. I thought it was actually quite a lot better than I was expecting, and I was expecting it to be pretty good. The first noticeable thing was how many analysts were on the trip. I think there must have been about 16 analysts on the trip, and that's big in sort of post-MIFID days because, you know, this is a story a lot of people want to get hold of, and you know, all the serious analysts were on the case, and we all thought that it was a pretty rock-solid story. I mean, it's considered to be, you know, simplicity made profitable is what they call it, but that's what it is because we went to see the wells, and these are shallow wells where they find gas most of the time. I think they've got an 80% hit rate on the wells they've drilled so far. The gas needs no treatment. It's 99% methane, so it goes straight via a pipeline, local pipelines, which are all in place, to the clients, which is brilliant. So the margins are very high. I mean, literally, operating costs are 30 cents an MCF. Drilling costs are low because they're, you know, simple, straightforward, onshore rigs. And they're much smaller rigs than Circle use, for example, so they're cheaper. Mm-hmm. They've worked out they don't need concrete pads all the time and so on. So, you know, the costs are really low and the gas prices are high. The government are trying to get gas prices up. So they've set the latest gas prices at $10 an MCF, which is enormous if you compare what their costs are. And the government have put a target for the next set of arrangements when they start negotiating again of $12 an MCF. So the bottom line is that, you know, I think that they've got five-year fixed-price contracts, which are rolling over all the time. That Morocco's got this Atlantic Free Zone and business parks, which are attractive. A lot of exciting companies, for example, we went to see what's in the process of being a big Peugeot plant. Mm-hmm. They've already become a client. They got big ceramics mills we went to see, and paper and packaging, which are big users of gas for heating and drying and so on. You know, they're selling 6 million scuffs a day at the moment. The target for this year is 8 to 10. The pipeline can take 24. You can do the maths. You know, it's they're very supported, much supported by Onhim, which is the state company. You've got 50 BCF plus of reserves. They're 4 out of 5 on the current drilling campaign. They've got 4 more to go, 2 development wells and 2 exploration wells. They'll do seismic through the summer, and I expect to hear another drilling program announced later on in the year. So, what's not to like, really?
Yeah. And, yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I mean, still in that holding pattern, the share price. So, you know, it's a good time for people to do some research on that stock. Because
I mean, they're fully funded. They've got a very, very good shareholder list. I mean, their big shareholder, their cornerstone shareholder, is always saying to them, you know, if you want more money to do stuff, you know, just come and ask. You don't need to worry about it. And they've got another quite big shareholder. And then they've got half a dozen or 8 really good institutional shareholders and a really good list of retail. It's exactly the sort of shareholder list that you would like to see. As I said, they're fully funded. You know, if they raise it, it'll be because they've got something really exciting to do. It's most promising. The other thing you like to see when you go and visit a company on the ground is local management. So I was very impressed by that. Really, really good guys at the local level.
Yeah, cool. That's it. Anything else there, Malky?
Just one more for as they say. Rock Rose Energy announced last Friday that they are returning £1.50 a share back to shareholders, which on the space of it looks like an amazing, you know, these guys came to the market. This is Andrew Austin, who used to be head of iGas, who's setting up a business just to buy production, and they've done a number of deals. And they've done so well that they've got, you know, more cash in the bank they need. As a result, they are they're giving guidance of about 5,250 barrels a day. The £1.50 is for those people who are interested is definitely, you know, the people worrying. I noticed on the boards last week that it wasn't coming back. It's one of those special A share, B share thingies, but. This will come back next week. I think at the beginning of next week it's expected to go. It'll return cumdiv, and then the EGM is on the 14th of February when it'll go exdiv. So you'll get your £1.50. I got one or two emails on Friday, people saying, you know, I don't like companies to give back money because that's their money's in there to do stuff with, which I can understand. But actually, I think this one, they've done so well in the last year or so, and they've now got, you know, more money than they can spend at the moment, and they think it's a good idea to get the production going, get the money coming in at $70. After all, the barrel OPEX is below 30, the G&A is 3, they're, you know, highly cash generative. And they think that if they give, you know, £1.50, efficient £1.50 returns to shareholders, that's sensible. And they know that if they then come back asking for more money for a deal at some stage, you know, they're not taking the mickey. So I can understand why people say, you know, I don't want it. But I think most shareholders would say this is very good news indeed, and they'll support them again if they need it. So, you know, the bottom line is that you know, they will do various other other deals. I'm expecting them to do that, you know, get that production going up and getting very profitable business in. So I think that you know, there's, you know, people take it both ways, but most of the people I got messages from last Friday like it a lot. And for those people who are worrying about when they're going to get the money, it's a couple of weeks' time.
Mm-hmm. Marvellous stuff. That's RRE ticker. Malky, thanks for that, fella. Have a nice week. Speak next week.
Yeah, look forward to it, Justin. Bye now.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Vesarion, VRS. At four, Hydrodeck, HYR. At three, Jersey Oil and Gas. That's JOG. At two, Utility Wise, which I did write a blog on the weekend, saying it's very risky, but it's not a Carillion. And because of that, if certain conditions are met, it could be a compelling investment long term. But do your own research, of course. This is not investment advice. But they were suspended today because one of the issues they're having is with their, you know, finances and getting their full year results out, because they adopted a different accounting standard, which has taken a long time because it's over multi-year contracts or affects, you know, last year's results, this year's results, and next year's results. So they're having an audit process. And because on AIM, if you haven't produced your final results within 6 months of them finishing or the year end, then you're suspended. So that's happened. They're suspended. You can't buy shares in those. But they are a very risky prospect. Okay, and number one is United Oil and Gas, which is up today. And that's, of course, Brian Larkin. And worth doing research on that company, I believe. UOG. All right. Top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours were, at five, Rose Petroleum. That's multiple drilling targets identified by 3D seismic. At four, StratAero, operational and board changes. At three, Hydrodeck Group, pre-close trading update. At two, Jersey Oil and Gas, operational update. And at number one, the most liked RNS was from Sirica Energy. That's operations update. And of course, Malky talked about that just earlier on. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciatos.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hear the intriguing stories behind some of the world's best love songs in the FT's Life of a Song podcast. From soul to funk, to punk to jazz, discover how classic songs like Smells Like Teen Spirit, Yesterday, and Stairway to Heaven were born. Search online or listen at ft.com/podcasts. Plus, don't miss the new Life of a Song book, featuring a compilation of 50 songs that have appeared in FT weekend columns. Pick up your copy from Amazon, your local bookshop, or give a gift to someone who'd enjoy this brilliant literary mixtape.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.